Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. WynnBET is now live in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Louisiana, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Tennessee, and Virginia. For boosted same-game parlays to live in-game odds, WynnBET has what you need to win. Sign up today and bet $100 to get $100 at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WynnBET. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNNBET. State restrictions do apply. We're also brought to you by the SGPN Big Game Squares Contest. $1,000 prize pool and completely free to enter. Just go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/squares to enter today. We're also brought to you by the SGPN Big Game Bingo. $57 SGPN gift card for every single bingo hit exclusively in the SGPN app.
Hi, Joe DeGenerinos, and welcome to the MMA Gambling Podcast and the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, episode 288. It's going to go to Topnoi Kiram, who gave us content last episode. So if you wonder who Topnoi Kiram is, who loves to smoke cigs after fights, then definitely go back an episode and we talk about him. And go back a lot of episodes and we talked about him before, too. So this is going out to Topnoi Kiram. This podcast that's going into your ears is brought to you by me, Jeff Fox, writer. Which is my Twitter handle, but I also go by Jeff Chalks Fox. I also have a co-host on the line here who usually he likes me to give him something to riff off of in the opening. That's why the openings are long sometimes, but I don't know if I have anything to riff off here.
Is it because we used our Topnoi guarantee in the last fight?
Exactly. So let's just bring him in. He's the Lauro Sanko of our podcast. We've been told it's going to be real. Hello.
That's an honorable thing. Was it? So I didn't see that comment. I must have missed it in some point. Was it because of my break? Was it because of my breakdowns or my good looks?
He's going to make it. It was because of your implants. Okay. That's what it was about. Let me see. I think it was Ryan H that called you that.
Right on, Ryan.
He's a good guy in there, right?
This episode goes out to Topnoi Kiram and Ryan H.
Gumby wants me to talk about how great he is on this podcast, but okay, here we go. I don't know who I'm flattering more here, but honestly, hearing her talk about her being Lauro Sanko about doing research reminds me of Gumby breaking down these fights. Say whatever you want. Say whatever you want, but you can't say they don't put in the time and effort every time. Ryan H., you're making the guy more arrogant already as it is.
So. Man, I'm going to have to search and screenshot that shit.
Yep, you will. That will be framed in the Gumby Vreeland household soon enough. All right, we broke down the prelims yesterday being Wednesday, depending on when you're listening to this. Now we're going to break down the main card of UFC Fight Night, Lewis versus Bivak, aka UFC Vegas 68, the fight card that was supposed to be in Seoul, Korea, South Korea, but instead it's in Las Vegas, but they're still doing it on Korean time. So the main card we're going to break down starts at 1 a.m. Eastern time. So interesting. Lucky my one child doesn't like to go to bed and he keeps me up all night. So I'll probably be able to watch it live with you fellas in the Discord. Get in the Discord, everybody. Also get into WynnBET because WynnBET is the official online sportsbook of the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. WynnBET is active in a bunch of states and there are tons of ways to win, including live betting and same game parlays, aka WynnBET's Build Your Own Bet. The big game is here, and WinBet has you covered. Great promos, odds, and payouts happening right now at WinBet. Ready to play? Sign up today to receive a special offer. Bet $100, get $100. Limited to state availability. And of course, if you hit the biggest long shot parlay of the week, you get $1,000 free credit. So much to choose from, and all you have to do is head over to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/winbet so they know we sent you. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNNBET. Offer subject to change. Terms and conditions at winbet.com. Must be 21 or older and present in the state where playthrough WinBet is available. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. And if that's not enough, we're giving you the Big Game Squares contest for this year. SGPN is giving away $1,000 in their Big Game Squares contest. It's completely free to enter. All you need to do is follow the Sports Gambling Podcast on Spotify and give them a rating, hopefully a 5-star rating preferred. Then go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/squares to enter for your chance to win free Big Game Square. I'm assuming it's probably American football that we're talking about here. Probably that Super Bowl thing in the jig, right?
It's not the Grey Cup.
Not the Grey Cup. It's not Grey Cup season. Do you guys
play football in like a weird time of the year?
When was the Grey Cup? Grey Cup's in November, maybe. Yeah, I think we start a bit before the NFL. I think is how it works.
Okay, interesting.
We have CFL podcasts here for you guys to listen to. Then you'll know. And while you're in Spotify, give us a rating too, for crying out loud. Don't just give it to the SGPN one. Give us the 5-star rating, because we're only at 4.6 stars. So someone didn't give us 5, Dan.
I thought we had a lot of ratings on that. We have more on that than we do on Apple. Yeah, that's good stuff.
We haven't asked you guys for a while. I'm saying guys, because there's 1.5 girls that listen. So guys and gal and a half. Give us reviews. Rate, review. Give us funny reviews. Give us good reviews. Rate, review, subscribe. Anything else they're supposed to do, Dan, to make us be top of the world? I think that's it, right?
That's all I know. Listen. You should listen.
You should listen right to the end. I think that's a big thing, too. You have to listen to the end. So listen. Listen, because there's jokes sprinkled all throughout it, too. Now, mentioning parlays, it made me think of our contest that we haven't hyped up. Maybe we should hype it up again, Dan.
Oh, yeah. You guys should get in on the first quarter of the UFC props contest. We are running a props contest for the first 10 events of 2023, which takes you right up through the end of March. And we're giving away $50 to whoever hits the biggest prop, whoever hits the most props, and then $100 to whoever accumulates the most value. And I got to tell you guys, if you haven't started already, anybody could win in any week, because all you got to do is beat the best prop. But you're at a little bit of a disadvantage right now. The highest prop that's hit so far, +650, our good friend in the Discord, Dredney, is way out front by hitting 2 props. He's already in the front runner for that. He's hit about $1,000 worth of props if they were $100 bets. And he's hit a 650. So he's ahead in all 3 categories. Get out there and chase him. Put a big old prop in there and see if you can top him.
Big old prop. Put a big old prop in there, Dan. That could be a good episode title. Dropping big old props on top of Drendine.
Okay. sure, that's great.
All right. Now we'll come up with something better, but yes, make sure you do that. You want to tell them a verdict too, another contest we have?
Oh yeah, we are one of the very few verdict groups, verdict leagues they call them now. That is one of the, we got the official check mark. So make sure you go over and join. We got like 100 people in there competing every single week to be the top picker that listens to the SGPN MMA. So you can find that just on their leagues page. We're under the, like I said, the group of the notable official leagues. So make sure to get in on that and see if you can beat me and Jeff this week.
Guess who forgot to enter the last contest? I was pretty sure. Pretty sure I had everything done. Like I made sure I did my tally site and all that stuff, and I figured I did verdict along when I did tally site, but no, I forgot. So this is your chance, people.
Sleeping at the wheel.
Exactly. This is your chance. You can definitely catch up to me very quickly, because I am an event behind now. All right, I'm going to enter my picks, though, for sure this week. And some of them are from this main card we're breaking down, ESPN Plus. I didn't mention the prelims are also ESPN Plus. Prelims, 10 p.m. Eastern. Main card, 1 a.m. Eastern. And we're going to start off. And it's not a very good card either. So whether you want to stay awake or not, I don't know. But if you have money on it, you definitely want to stay awake and get in the Discord. sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Discord. We're going to start with welterweights. Yasuku Kinoshita versus Adam Fugit. Forget about it. Who was on the Top Turtle MMA podcast? that got me interviewed him last week. So if you want to listen to that, go back an episode. All right. Fugit, 8-3, 4 knockouts, 3 submissions. He'd been knocked out twice. 0-1 in the UFC. Got TKO in that fight. Multiple regional championships on his
mantle.
Former 185 pounder. Also a pro grappler. Inch taller than Kinoshita. Half a foot of reach. 6 inches of reach. He was outstruck in his UFC fight by 1.7 strikes per minute. His grappling stats are better than Kinoshita, but we're talking small sample size for him. One fight for Fugit, plus 255. Kinoshita, 6-1, 4 knockouts, 2 submissions. He lost. His only loss was via disqualification. This is his UFC debut. He's won 2 straight fights, including on the Contender Series. Both of his last 2 wins are via TKO. He's 11 years younger than Fugit. Striking stats in his favor, but we're talking one fight for both men. He outstruck his Contender Series opponent by 2.34 strikes per minute, minus 325. So I'm trying multitasking and I'm messing up all my words. I usually pick first on the main card. Kinoshita, I'm going chalk again. Like 11 years younger is massive. And he is a finisher and looked pretty impressive on the Contender Series. So give me Kinoshita here.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Kinoshita too. I think my biggest issue with Fugit, and I like Fugit, but like in that fight with Michael Morales, first of all, he looked slower. And second of all, he looked really hittable. Like 55% of the strikes that Morales threw landed on Fugit because he's just like willing to be in a brawl. And, you know, he shot a lot of takedowns and tried to stall the fight that way. And that might work a little bit against Kinoshita too. But I don't know for how long. And if he's going to keep getting hit, Kinoshita is the guy who turns your lights off. Like you said, he's winning all of his fights by stoppage. And, you know, the one loss he had, he pretty much stopped that guy too until he stomped on his head and got DQ'd for stomping on his head. So, like, yeah, I'm all over Kinoshita here too. I'm a little bit worried that the line is kind of inflated a bit. Like, I don't really love him up at that number. But, you know, he's definitely fuel for a parlay here.
Oh, perhaps we shall see if he ends up being in a parlay later on. All right, Kinoshita is both our picks. We're on the same page. We're going to move on to what weight class are we going to? We're going to down to featherweights. Doohoo Choi versus Kyle Nelson. We're going to tell you about Nelson. Kyle, the monster Nelson. 13-5, 5 knockouts, 4 submissions. He's been knocked out twice, submitted once. He's 1-4 in the UFC. He's lost 2 straight fights. He's not won since September of 2019. Used to fight at lightweight, was a regional champion. 2012 was his pro MMA debut. Inch of height, inch of reach on Choi. He's been outstruck by 2.05 strikes per minute in the UFC. Not very good. Where are we? His grappling stats are better than Choi's, plus 160. He does train in my birth city, so that may sway some people to pick him. Choi, the Korean Superboy, he's back. He's 31. Is that still a Superboy? I think he's a Superman now.
We already have a Superman, though.
Yeah, not a Korean Superman, though, do we?
No, he's from Texas.
Yep. All right, Choi, 14-4, 11 knockouts, 1 submission. He's been knocked out twice, 3-3 in the UFC. He's lost 3 straight fights, won his first 3, lost his last 3. His last 2 via TKO. He's not fought since December of 2019. He's not won since July of 2016. You did not have any children at that point, Dan.
It's wild.
The good old days. Used to fight at lightweight. 2009 pro MMA debut. Striking stats are better than Nelson's, and he's 1.6 times more active landing strikes. However, Choi's been outstruck in his UFC career by his opponents, 1.06 strikes per minute, minus 195. Remember, Nelson is also on Top Turtle MMA podcast this week. That's another thing I should mention. Go ahead.
Yeah, and that dropped last week, so you can go back and listen to that. I'm going to take Doohoo Choi. I don't really like this line. I'm going to be completely honest with you because the layoff does concern me, right? Like, I don't know what it looks like being away with Korean military service. I will say Kyungho Kang did so, and he came back looking pretty damn good in his first fight back. In fact, he looked bigger and stronger. And I will say, if Doohoo Choi comes back bigger and stronger, he's going to be really dangerous because he's always been a hard hitter. He's always been quick. He's not always been great defensively. But against Kyle Nelson, I'm trying to decide if I think that matters because I do like Kyle Nelson. I think he's done some great things. But like, if you go back and look, like, all of the guys he's fought, you know, and I'm going to throw the Diego Fajeda fight out because, you know, that fight didn't really feel like it mattered. You know, he lost to Matt Salas, wasn't able to land a big blow on him. You know, he kind of got outworked by Billy Quarantillo. He got beat up by Jai Herbert. And here's the other thing I don't like about Kyle Nelson in this fight. He's coming back down to featherweight after saying he would never fight at featherweight again. Because the big name of Doho Choi, like he would have wanted to fight a guy with a lot of hype behind him as a way to be like, look, I can do this. I can beat these top guys. And I just don't know that that's like a good enough reason to come back down in weight when, you know, at the end of the day, like I think he's got power, but I just don't know that he's going to land big enough power on Doho Choi, who's notoriously hard to knock out.
I'm going with my homeboy Nelson.
Wow.
I know he was born in lovely cottage country as well, and now he trains out of Stony Creek, which is where I lived for 6 months. But that's not the reason I'm picking him. I'm going against the inactivity. Ring rust is a real thing, and Choi's been out a long time. He's not looked good for even longer than that. So usually I go striker over grappler. This time I'm flipping the script. I'm hoping Nelson can turn this into a grappler.
I don't think either of these guys really counts as a grappler, do they? I mean, like, Nelson. Maybe you think Nelson's gonna shoot takedowns here?
Do monsters shoot takedowns?
Man, I don't know if he's going to, because like you go back to that Jai Herbert fight. Sure, he shot a couple, but he didn't score any on Jai Herbert. You know, you go back to the Billy Quarantillo fight. He shot a couple there, didn't score any on Billy Quarantillo. So, like, I mean, the last time he had a takedown was against Matt Salas in 2019. So, like, sure, maybe he's going to try, but I don't know that he's going to succeed.
Well, we shall find out. I'm going against the ring rust, but it'd be interesting if Korean Superboy actually could get his mojo back. So we'll see. We shall see. Now Dan's poo-pooed all over my pick. We'll move to heavyweights. This is the feature fight in our world. This is a chunky guy, hashtag chunky guy fight. Marcin Tybur versus Blagoy Ivanov. Not just a chunky guy, but a chunky guy with massive knife wound scars all over his body, right?
Yeah.
It makes it even more
wounds?
Gnarly.
Do we know for a fact that those
yeah,
are
yeah.
Knife wounds? Oh, okay.
Yeah, he almost, you don't know the story about him?
Off the top of my head.
Yeah, he got, well, let's tell the story then quickly. He got, I'm going to find it now, in a bar fight. He got jumped and he was stabbed below the sternum and his lung was damaged. So, yeah, he was in intensive care for 6 hours. Yeah, so he had to be on a respirator or critical care for weeks, but he's back. There you go. He came back and he won a bunch of fights. So, yeah, that's why he has a gnarly scar. So, all right. And Tybura versus Ivanov. I'm going to talk about Ivanov first. Bagata is the nickname. 19-4 with one no contest, 6 knockouts, 6 submissions. Been submitted one time. 3-3 in the UFC. Won his last fight. 5-0 in the World Series Fighting / PFL and was their champion at heavyweight. 6-0 in Bellator and was their champion as well. 2007 was his pro MMA debut. He also was the Sambo champion. So this guy, he better have a pretty big mantle, Dan. in the UFC, he has been outstruck by 0.77 strikes per minute. Plus 115, if all that sounds good to you. Tybura, nickname Tybur. Such a great nickname. You just take one letter off the last name, right?
That's the best way to do it.
Is it? Okay. Gumby Vreeland.
You had to Gumby think Vreeland. About it.
I had to pick it out. Jeff, and then I'm Jeff Foe. Ay, ay, ay. We got to end this show, dude. I'm struggling, obviously. All right. Tybur, 23-7. 9 knockouts, 6 submissions. He's been knocked out 4 times. 10-6 in the UFC. He's on quite a roll now. He's won 6 of his last 7 fights, including his last one. He was the M1 champ before all of this. 2011 pro MMA debut. 4 inches of height, 5 inches of reach on Ivanov. Ivanov's a little fire hydrant type of guy. Striking stats, better than Ivanov. Grappling stats, better than Ivanov. And Tybur has outstruck his UFC opponents by 0.23 strikes per minute. Minus 135. And he was on Dan's podcast last week. A very good interview.
Yeah, I love Marcin Tybur, and I love him not just.
It's my turn first. It's my turn. Okay. I'm taking Tybur, but you can tell everyone why we're taking Tybur. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, like, his performance against Alexander Romanov was enough for me to take him alone. You know, like
he broke our hearts.
Yeah, he broke my heart because I love Romanov, but like that's a veteran ass performance, right? And like largely, if you look at him. When he can lean on you and control where you are and tire you out, he wins the fight because he is for a big dude, he has got exceptional cardio, and he's really hard to get off of you. Like, go back to his fight with Sergey Spivak, which, by the way, is not that long ago. It's going to be, like, less than 3 years ago from this main event. And we got Spivak fighting Derek Lewis in the main event. Tybura beat him not 3 years ago, mostly just by taking him down, leaning on him, wearing him out, and being better pretty much everywhere. And, you know, Blago Ivanov has not been the type of guy who looks like he can control where the fight goes anymore. You know, like, he kind of took down Derek Lewis a couple of times, and Derek Lewis, you know, did the Derek Lewis thing and just got up. And, you know, he if you want to go way back, fought Tai Tuivasa and couldn't keep Tai Tuivasa down. Rogério de Lima had better control than him. You know, he wasn't able to keep Augusto Sakai down. I don't know why anybody would think he could keep Marcin Tybura down. And the craziest part of all of this is this line keeps getting closer and closer as if the money is coming in on Blago Ivanov. So, I mean, like, maybe just wait a little bit out and see if you can get Tybura at close to even money, because this is crazy to me. I think he should be a massive favorite here.
Yep. Tybura is our pick here. All right. Light heavyweights. What a co-main event, eh, Dan? Wow.
Down... I like these two.
All right. You can like them, but come on. Dan Jung versus Devin Clark. Light heavyweights. We are going to tell you about Clark first. Brown Bear, who was a guest on the Top Turtle in the past, right?
He has been a bunch of times, yeah.
Yep. Maybe that's why his career has gone the way it's gone. Let's break down the resume, okay? 13-7, 4 knockouts, 1 submission. He's been knocked out 3 times, submitted 3 times. 7-7 in the UFC. However, he's gone 1-3 over his last 4 fights after he talked to Dan. Last one via TKO. He's fought at heavyweight. He's fought at middleweight. Was a regional champ. He's barely outstruck his UFC opponents. His strike differential is 0.08 strikes per minute. Plus 170 to Brown Clark. Seseda, S-S-E-D-A. We don't really know what that means, right?
Sure we do. It's a Korean brand of hard hat.
Oh, right. Yes, we've talked about this before. Excellent. Well, he has only been knocked at once. So, yeah, it's a very good hard hat. He's 15-3-1, Jung. 11 knockouts, 2 submissions. He's been knocked out once, submitted once. 4-1-1 in the UFC. Lost via knockout his last fight. He's fought at heavyweight as well. Was regional champ. 4 inches taller than Clark. 3 inches of reach. 3 years younger. More active landing strikes. He's outstruck his UFC opponents by 0.24 strikes per minute. His grappling stats are better than Clark's as well. Minus 245. Now you can go first.
Yeah, I'm taking Dan Jung. I like Devin Clark, and his move to elevation, I think, is going to help. But, like, he's still a guy who's been, first of all, cracked a couple of times recently and made me, you know, second guess him. But also, he's a guy who doesn't have a lot of finishing ability. You know, like, apart from that one finish that seemed to come out of nowhere, like, all of his fights are going to decision, and he's going to have to stand there and battle with not just a guy who can knock him out, but a guy who can submit him. I mean, like, only, you know, over 50% of Dan Jung's fights is he finishing, and, like, he's not just finishing, you know, the Kadis Abrigamovs and the Mike Rodriguez's of the world, but he went out there and finished Kenazi Jichuku, and he did so with a vicious elbow. The guy's got great finishing power, and I think, too, with the fact that he can finish in close quarters with, like, guillotines and elbows and stuff like that, that's a nightmare for a guy who, like, wants to put you up against the cage and wrestle in Devin Clark. So, yeah, give me Dan Jung here. I like him in this one.
Yes, Jung for sure. Yeah, Clark doesn't finish. Jung's way bigger, and he's younger, and he's far more dangerous on the feet. So Jung is the pick, and he has a hard habit that he wears into each fight. So that will help him as well. Main event time, which we broke down back at UFC Vegas 65, excuse me, in November.
I went back and listened because I couldn't remember who you picked.
Oh, okay. There you go. Maybe I've switched. Maybe I haven't. Heavyweights, Derek Lewis versus Sergey Spivak, the Black Beast versus the Polar Bear. Black Beast, Lewis, 26-10 with 1 no contest, 21 knockouts, 1 submission. He's won he's been knocked out 7 times, submitted once. 17-8 in the UFC. He's lost 2 straight fights. And only won 1 of his last 4, and all of his losses have come via knockout or TKO. Was a regional champ, 2010, a pro MMA debut. Based on their last weigh-ins, which probably was their last fight, Lewis got sick right before. He was 15 pounds heavier than Spivak. He's got inch of reach on him. Somehow he's got a 0.0 strike differential over 25 UFC fights. That is totally like blows your mind statistically, but that's the case. Plus 190, the number on Lewis. Spivak, he would be the Polar Bear. 15-3, 7 knockouts, 6 submissions. He's been knocked out twice. 6-3 in the UFC. He's won 2 straight fights in 5 of 6. The last two wins have come via TKO. Was a regional champ. He's 10 years younger than Lewis. Striking stats, better than Lewis. He's 1.5 times more active landing strikes than Lewis. Grappling stats, better than Lewis. He's outstruck his UFC opponents by 0.83 strikes per minute, minus 235. Despite all that, I'm taking Derek Lewis. I just see the path to victory for him much clearer than I do for Spivak. Spivak's not a guy that cracks and knocks people out, or that's not what he's known for. And that's basically the only way you're going to finish Derek Lewis is if you crack him really, really hard. If you take him down, he just stands back up, everybody. Hopefully he can do that against the polar bear. But I'm liking his chances to crack and Spivak, who has been knocked out a couple of times. So it's not like he's immune to the knockout blow. So give me that dog money.
Yeah, I'm with you. I said it the first time and I'll say it again. Derek Lewis is probably not better anywhere in this fight. He doesn't have better wrestling. He doesn't have better clinch work. His boxing is not sharper. He maybe doesn't have a better game plan, but he cracks. And at the end of the day, he cracks. And that's all you need in this fight. Because if you go back and you look at Sergey Spivak's past fights, and granted, he has gotten better since some of his past fights. This is a guy who dropped round one to Alexei Oleinik because he got outstruck. And granted, he did get taken down in that fight, spent a little time on his back. But Alexei Oleinik landed 27 punches in one round. Alexei Oleinik, like a guy who we largely think of as being a fucking miserable striker, right? And he went in there and he outstruck him. He outclassed him in a bunch of different ways. And the thing is he doesn't even need to outclass him. He just needs to hit him once. And I think Spivak is hittable. I don't think Spivak is this guy who goes in there and he like avoids every single punch. You know, look at the Tom Aspinall fight. Like Aspinall just blitzed him and finished him in no time at all. I see this fight happening the same way. I will also say this. You know, somebody pointed out to me that Sergey Spivak has won 5 out of 6 fights. True. It's very true. Who's the best win in that 5 out of 6 fight span? It's Augusto Sakai, and it's not close. Like, it's Augusto Sakai, Alexei Oleinik. Third might be Greg Hardy. The third best win in a streak of 5 might be Greg Hardy. And that's not a good win. So like it is a good streak and I'm glad he's getting his step up in like as a young guy. I think the step up's too much. I think Derek Lewis lands one right hand. It's all he needs to do in this first round and he knocks him the hell out.
Yep. Like I said, path to victory is much harder for Spivak than it is for Lewis, if you ask me. So we're going with the Black Beast. I had forgotten you had picked him. And then when I was writing my article for sportsgamblingpodcast.com, I went back to see what I written originally. And it said that you had convinced me to pick Lewis. So,
I convinced you the first time. I'm like, long-term convincing.
Yeah, exactly. All right. It doesn't take much convincing for me to back Derek Lewis. Love. All right. Let's recap. We both have Lewis. We both have Jung. I got to put Dan's name there. Jung. We both have Tybura. He has Choi. I have Nelson. And we both have Kinoshita. So pretty much on the same page, except for the one pick that Dan's going to get wrong. So not bad. Not bad at all. All right. Should we do some... What do we do now, Dan? We do...
Lock dog prop, baby.
Lock dog prop, baby. All right. You want to go first with your lock pick?
Sure. I'm going to take Marcin Tybura.
Okay.
Like, first of all, I like the number on here. I don't know if I'm being tempted by the number. What did you officially have as the number there?
135.
Negative 135. Yeah. I don't know if I'm being a little bit tempted on by the Marcin Tybura number, but at the end of the day, like this number keeps getting closer and closer. I think he's clearly the better fighter in this fight. So, let's go with Marcin Tybura.
Is it boring if I pick the same one again? But I wrote how much I like that number, so I think I got to take it too. Well, we've been on our locks have been
the same.
Same
lock every week. Yeah,
so that's good. And we hit them. We fit well half of them, so something like that. All right, dog time.
I'm gonna take Zayi. I think Zayi's wrestling is way better than people give him credit. What did we get that? That was a pretty big one, right?
I didn't get it. You got it. Za is at plus 205 against Lee, the Korean Tiger.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Right. So, yeah, I'm going to take him.
I will take Derek Lewis, plus 190. Like I said, path to victory I see very clearly for him. So give me Lewis. Now, prop time.
So I'm going to be kind of wimpy with my prop here, because I went big with the underdog. So I'm going to go a little bit wimpy with my prop, but I'm going to take Ji Young Kim, and I'm going to take her to win by decision as my prop. So she's kind of a big favorite. I don't like Mandy Bohm. I think the volume here probably wins for Ji Young Kim. She's not a big knockout artist. And you can get her to win by decision at negative 120. So you're almost getting pick'em price on a fighter who, you know, is damn near a 3-1 favorite, and to win in the method she like almost certainly will win. So I'm going to take Ji Young Kim by decision, negative 120.
Give me Lewis via knockout, baby.
What's that number at? I saw it
as well.
Plus 260.
See, it shows that that's the way he's going to win, because he's up plus 190 just to win outright. All right. Yeah, I'm going all in there. All right. So we both have Tybura for locks. He has Zha. I have Lewis for dogs. He has Kim via decision. What was the number on Kim via decision again?
Negative 120.
Minus 120. Yawn, and I have Lewis knockout plus 260. So boy, I'm going to be ahead so much money after this, Dan. And I will enter the contest for that one too.
Yeah, that's a good one. So and then
Hungry Man Jong super fan parlay.
Yeah, so for the Hungry Man Jong, I have combined. Get this, I took the Derek Lewis knockout from my Hungry Man Jong parlay. Nice. Yeah, I had already worked that one in there, and we're gonna pair it with the Iron Turtle picking up a submission. I mentioned on yesterday's episode that I think Dennis Tuilulin kind of gets more credit for his grappling than he deserves. And his last two losses have actually come by submission. And the Iron Turtle's last win has come by submission. So, like, when you pair those two things together, it seems like it would be a pretty easy fix to say, hey, let's take the Iron Turtle by sub. Plus 360, which I thought was kind of wild. So if you pair that and the Lewis KO together, you're going to get plus 1510.
Whoa, one of our biggest. Yeah, one of your biggest. Yeah, I shouldn't take credit for it. All right, so Lewis via knockout, the Turtle via submission, correct?
That's right.
Fantastic. All right. I think we did everything we need to do here for you. We give you all your picks for the main card and props, locks, favorites, all that jazz. We gave you Top Noi guarantee last podcast. We gave you a super Hungry Man Jong super fan parlay. We've done it all for you. Told you about a bunch of giveaways. We're the best. So make sure, if you agree that we're the best and you've listened this far, make sure you rate, review, subscribe, all that jazz. We're making a big push on Spotify, so if you want to give us 5 stars in there, that would help greatly. You can also get in the Discord and have some fun with us. We'll be talking UFC all night, apparently, on Saturday, since the main card starts at 1 a.m. That would be sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Discord. Twitter, SGPN MMA. Gumby runs that. He also is at Gumby Vreeland. I'm at Jeff Fox Writer. All our writing sports at sportsgamblingpodcast.com. And for every sport we cover, all our podcasts are there, all our discounts at various sports books are there. Just get in the Sports Gambling Podcast to come check it out. We told you a bunch about Top Turtle already. We don't have to tell you more about that. And if you want to enter my pick 'em contest for this week and read my other MMA writing, I have a Substack. It would be moneymma.substack.com. And Gumby can take us out of here.
I'm David Gumby Vreeland. He's the Korean Superboy Jeff Fox, and we will see you on Sunday.